brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Yes, I said homophobic, even though I'd like to talk about something we did a few shows back. I interviewed a woman who calls herself Eva the Evil Lesbian. Now, she calls herself that on internet forums and chat rooms. And she has gotten to know some of the people who listen to Bob Enyart Live here at KGov and debated them on the web. And so Eva and I had a lengthy conversation a few shows back, and I probed to find the foundation of Eva's belief system. She believes homosexuality should be legal, the sodomy laws, the laws that forbid sexual behavior between men and women. She believes that those, among with others, should be repealed. And I tried to find out the foundation of Eva's belief system, and I could not detect one. Eva tried to avoid a discussion of her basic principles, and she was noticeably uncomfortable answering questions about authority and the source of ultimate right and wrong. And she was very hesitant to admit that a higher authority can overrule if a law is wrong, then by some higher authority that law should be repealed. For example, laws against homosexuality, Eva believes, are wrong, and therefore by what authority should those laws be repealed? And she's very hesitant to even discuss the issue in those terms. And what that told me was that Eva's views are indefensible. She cannot defend them, and that's not because she lacks intelligence, but because they're truly indefensible. Eva is not the first person I've had this conversation with. I've talked with hundreds of liberals and homosexuals trying to defend Eva's position about homosexuality. And it is my conclusion, not that Eva couldn't come up with a defense, but that there is no rational defense of the homosexual worldview. Thus, I do not accept their arguments. I utterly reject them as destructive, both to Eva and each homosexual individual, and destructive to society at large. I'd like to ask Eva this question. If she were here right now in the studio or on the line, I'd like to ask Eva, now that a couple weeks have passed, is there anything that you would like to add or any clarifications or retractions to anything that we discussed? And actually, my call screener is telling me that Eva is on the line. So I'm glad to hear that. Welcome, Eva.
Hello, Bob.
It is good to have you back.
Well, thank you. I disagree with your summary of the conversation, by the way.
Okay, go ahead. Give us your summary. Or correct my summary.
Your summary says that I have no basis for any of my beliefs, and I just don't look at things the same way you do. You have a very black and white view of the world, and I see more shades of gray.
I agree with that completely.
And
but Eva, I said that when I probed to try to get you to enunciate your foundation views, the basic principles, that you were very hesitant, and that you did not answer questions, for example, as why is stealing wrong? If someone thinks stealing is okay, like an inner-city gang member, and you said, well, it's not, and they said, why? I asked you that question repeatedly, and you had no way to answer, to give an authoritative answer as to why stealing is wrong.
Well, why don't we talk about something that, you know, it's like, why don't we talk about something like, you know, George W. Bush and what's...
We could talk about the issues, and let's do that starting in 1 minute.
Let's talk about the issues.
Let's do that starting in 1 minute, Eva, but let me conclude the first half of our conversation.
Okay.
Stating that I don't believe that you are able to accurately evaluate current events because you don't even understand the fundamental ideas on which your own opinions rest. You have a confused worldview. And therefore, when you come to a conclusion or a judgment regarding a detail, because your foundation is so weak or even non-existent, you're not reliable in coming to the truth of a matter. But go ahead. Let's talk about details, and we'll test that.
Okay. What I understand, Bob, that you do not think much of George W. Bush.
Right.
And why is that? Why is that you don't think much of George W. Bush?
Well, I believe that homosexuality is immoral, destructive, and should be criminal.
Mm-hmm.
John Ashcroft just recently met as the vice president with Bush's full concurrence and support.
Attorney General, not the vice president.
I'm sorry. Attorney General, thank you for correcting me. I was going to get to Dick Cheney and his lesbian daughter. But John Ashcroft met with the homosexual Republican group, the Log Cabin Republicans.
I am on the board of that, or I used to be on the board of that group. I'm not on the board anymore.
Of a national or a state chapter?
National.
Oh, very interesting. And they met with him, and it was pretty much a hug fest. John Ashcroft committing, like he has repeatedly, to do everything he can to support and uphold the rights of homosexuals, and that they not be persecuted or treated wrongly or discriminated against. And that is part of the homosexual agenda right there, being implemented by the Bush administration. Homosexuality should be criminal. We should return to the law as it was when this nation was founded. Homosexuality was a crime, and even like in Virginia, when Thomas Jefferson was governor of Virginia, homosexuality was a capital crime, as was lesbianism. And instead, the homosexual community has worked to legitimize their behavior, and leading conservatives have gone along with that, legitimizing homosexuality, saying that it should be legal. And therefore, I consider them more of an enemy than I do Queer Nation. Because George W. Bush and John Ashcroft and Dick Cheney can do more to legitimize homosexuality by meeting with homosexuals, pledging them support, asking them to work together. They do more to further the gay agenda than Queer Nation ever could.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah. Yeah, the homosexuals have said that we have a friend in the White House. And therefore,
actually, most gay people do not believe that George Bush is a friend.
Right, not most, but 25%, the highest percentage ever in, I think, recorded or calculated history, voted for George W. Bush, according to Voter News Service. Of
VNS. And actually, from what I understand, in 1988, 40% of gays voted for George the First.
No. It was
In 92, it was like around 10%.
Yeah, I just read
38.
I just read the numbers in an article in a Voter News Service, which is the media's consortium.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the numbers for the past so many elections.
I think it was they had 92, 96, and 2000. I don't think that they had 88. And my understanding is that in 88, 40% of gay people voted for Bush the First.
Well, okay. But at any rate, we're
that convention, which got very anti-gay, as you recall, you probably were very happy with the 92 Republican convention.
This last convention, when George W. Bush agreed to have a homosexual congressman speak in prime time, we saw that as, of course, a huge victory for homosexuals and a tragedy for those fighting for what's right in America. Eva, I would like to...
Thank you. The gays won the day.
Right. With the George W. Bush campaign.
It's the George W. Bush campaign. Yes.
And they
gays won another one.
Yeah. And homosexuals continue to win victory after victory. It's been typical, I believe, for the last 20 years that I've been observing, that you can be an unabashed homosexual activist and be respected and part of the mainstream American society. But if you're an unabashed anti-homosexual activist, you'll be ridiculed, marginalized, and eventually censored. That's what we see happening. And so the traditional Judeo-Christian view of homosexuality, that it's sin, it's wicked and perverse, that you can almost not say that in mixed company in America. You will be booed, hissed, off the stage, or out of the room.
Well, you say that on a regular basis, and you're still on the air.
I'm on the Internet.
You're on the Internet.
Yes. A dog with a video cam could get on the Internet.
Well, that's true.
Right. And it's, I mean, what Christian leader is saying that homosexuality should be recriminalized? What Republican leader?
Robertson.
Who?
Say that?
Who?
That
no.
Robertson?
No, not at all. He says equal rights for homosexuals.
When did he say that?
When did he say that?
When did Pat Robertson say that? I mean, I thought that Jerry Falwell met with gays about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, right. I have a list. How about, what do you think? Let me give you a list, because I have a list of a number of Christian leaders.
Okay.
And the things that...
I wouldn't necessarily call Pat Robertson a Christian leader. I consider him just a charlatan who...
I agree with that.
But it... is very good at bringing in lots of money for himself and using Christianity as a medium to do that.
I agree with that. Yeah, his healings and his words of knowledge, that's all right. That's a charlatan. And he made $1 billion with his scam of the Family Channel, selling it to Rupert Murdoch, and is using his Operation Blessing airplane to bring equipment to his diamond mines in Africa. It's all a scam.
Yeah, I think his diamond mine in Africa stuff should be more explored, because from my understanding, a lot of these diamond mines in Africa, the money that's made on them is made on the torture and genocide of people, because the diamonds fund these wars in places like Sierra Leone.
Well, let me give you a list of Christian leaders and who I believe have said that homosexuals should have equal rights.
Okay.
All right, James Dobson, Chuck Colson.
James Dobson?
Yeah, and I have quotes from each of these.
Okay.
James Dobson, Chuck Colson, Beverly LaHaye, Gary Bauer, Tom Minery, Vice President of Focus on the Family. Isn't he the guy that recently got in trouble? Oh, no, I'm sorry. I don't want to start that rumor.
Mike Trout and John Pock from Focus on the Family have both gotten in trouble.
Yeah, but let's not get off on that detour right now.
Okay.
Colorado for Family Values is the group that passed Amendment 2 back in 93. That said you could discriminate against homosexuals because you didn't have to rent an apartment to them. You didn't have to hire them. And so I strongly supported Amendment 2, and it was overturned in the courts. But anyway, I interviewed those guys behind Colorado for Family Values, Will Perkins and Kevin Thibodeau, and their campaign slogan was that homosexuals should have equal rights, not special rights. Equal rights. And James Dobson has said that homosexuals have the right to do what they want to do in the privacy of their own homes. Chuck Colson, I'll quote from him verbatim, May 26, 1993, in his Breakpoint newsletter. If homosexuals want to have relationships with people of the same sex in the privacy of their homes, that is their right.
Mm-hmm.
Beverly LaHaye. Concerned Women of America president in 1993, July, in her magazine, said that their organization would never deny a homosexual civil rights or discriminate against them. Gary Bauer, in his Citizen magazine, June 21st, 1993, said that we should adopt a live and let live attitude toward what other people do in private.
Gary Bauer said that?
Gary Bauer wrote that in his newsletter. And so here's the point. The Christian leadership is confused. They forget that the homosexuals are the enemy, and it's a battle where one or the other will win in public life. The two are mutually exclusive publicly. You cannot have society at large except Christianity and homosexuality. One or the other will go.
I don't agree with that.
Well, the
I don't agree with that one bit, Bob.
Well, the morality of the Apostle Paul and Moses cannot stand with the morality of the homosexual groups.
Those are not mutually exclusive, and I'm not.
Paul says that they should be put to death, homosexuals, and so did Moses. And Jesus affirmed the morality of Moses even to the death penalty. In Matthew chapter 15, when Moses called for the death penalty, even in the hardest of cases, Jesus affirmed that. And so we could make up a new version of Christianity that says adultery is okay, fornication is okay, homosexuality is okay, sex with animals is okay, and incest is okay, but that would be a new Christianity. It wouldn't be traditional Christianity, which condemns adultery and homosexuality.
Well, so, and again, Bob, from what I understand from friends of mine who are pretty active with the Christian church and also who are fundamentalist Christians and who are also gay, have told me that that a lot of these verses in the Bible that quote-unquote condemn homosexuality are actually condemning
inhospitable.
And
what are they condemning? What?
They're condemning male prostitution, and then some of these.
Well, actually,
older men having sex with children.
Eva,
agree that there is a problem.
Yeah, Eva, let's talk about your first point. We don't have to talk about prostitution. Let's talk about that point, okay? A cursory reading. You don't have to be an expert in the Bible. You only have to give a cursory reading, and you could go back to them and say, guess what? You were wrong. Because the Apostle Paul says men who've given up the natural use of the woman, and likewise women with women, those who burn in their lust one for another, that they're deserving of death. And you go back in Moses' writings, and he was talking about a man who sleeps with his mother or his sister. That's an abomination. And similarly, he says, a man who sleeps with a man or a man who sleeps with an animal, those are abominations. So you could look at the context. You could read it in the Hebrew. You could read it in the Greek, as I have done. And that is a fabrication. Do you think your homosexual Christian friend might be coming to the text with a bias?
Actually, no. I think that she has looked at this issue and prayed over this issue and struggled with this issue.
And you don't think she might have a bias?
No, I don't think so.
Isn't that immature for you to say that, Eva?
What?
Isn't that immature for you to say?
I respect my friends.
Well, that doesn't mean she. I respect my friends, and they have a bias.
Well, some people do.
Don't most
Everyone
people?
Everyone has a bias. You have a bias, too.
If somebody's a pornographer and they go to the Bible and they say, or like Bill Clinton said, the Bible never condemns oral sex as adultery. Bill Clinton said that to one of the state troopers that was his bodyguards. Now, I'd say Bill Clinton had a bias when he said the Bible does not condemn oral sex as adultery. I'd say he's not a Bible scholar. He hasn't consulted the Greek or the Hebrew. He has a bias.
Yes, and please don't compare Bill Clinton to gay people. That's really insulting.
No, I'm comparing his bias to your friend's bias.
It's not.
Eva,
it's insulting.
Eva, I just explained to you how the text, the context, has nothing to do with sex with children. Pedophilia is not mentioned from cover to cover in the Bible, not once. It's not mentioning the passages in Leviticus 18 and 20 and Romans 1 and Corinthians and 1 Timothy chapter 1 do not mention male prostitution. Prostitution is mentioned elsewhere in the Bible, not in the passages that Christians quote that condemn homosexuality. So I've explained. So what I'm suggesting to you is you should realize that your friend is not giving you an accurate interpretation of what the Bible says. And you could say, well, I don't care what the Bible says because homosexuality is good and therefore the Bible's wrong. You could say that, but why trick yourself into believing that the Bible approves of it?
I'm not trying to trick myself personally into believing anything particular about the Bible.
Well, how about I give you four chapters to read, and you could read them, and then you could see if your friend is right or I'm right.
Well, give me some verses. Yeah, I can check those out.
Okay, I'll give you four chapters.
Okay.
Leviticus 18.
Leviticus 18. Okay.
Leviticus 20.
Leviticus 18 and 20.
Romans 1.
Romans 1.
And 1 Timothy chapter 1. Oh, and could I add 1 Corinthians 6?
I think that was the one that Kirk and I were having a little debate about.
All right.
I remember that one.
Okay. I would love it if the Bible addressed sex with children and condemned it as a capital crime. But the Bible doesn't claim to make a complete list of every possible perversion. And so it doesn't do that. And there's all kinds of perversions going on that the Bible doesn't address. It just gives basic principles.
Okay. What were the chapters again? I've got to write them down.
All right.
Leviticus
18 and 20.
20.
Romans chapter 1.
Romans 1.
1 Corinthians 6.
1 Corinthians 6.
And 1 Timothy chapter 1.
Okay.
And when you read them, I'd encourage you to keep foremost in your mind, is this about a lack of hospitality? Mm-hmm. Is it about prostitution? Or is it about rape? Or is it about pedophilia? And I'll suggest to you that none of these references to homosexuality are about any of those things. They're simply, as they state, they're about sexual behavior within members of the same gender. That's what they're all about.
Well, I think when I was reading the 1 Corinthians 6 verses, I was reading several different translations. My roommate and I were talking about this, and it really did seem like it was referring to prostitution.
Well, there, unlike the Leviticus passage and the Romans passage, there's only two nouns used in sequence. There's not a sense, it's just a list of vile behaviors. And so it comes down to the definition of those nouns. In Leviticus and Romans, there's actually a small discussion. And in the discussion, it leaves no doubt whatsoever that the crime is because it's sex within the same genders. But, yeah, I'd like you to read those and then see if you think your friend's interpretation is right or mine.
All right.
And I'd love to hear back from you if ever you do that.
Well, I might take a look at them.
All right, good.
Bob, as you might be able to tell, I'm much more interested in politics than details in the Bible.
Right, I could tell that. What makes you think, Eva, that your opinions are right?
Well, I don't think all my opinions are necessarily right, but I think that some of them are.
Right, most of us, very few of us would claim infallibility.
Yeah.
Because we have our own experience to fall back on, and we know we've all been wrong.
Right.
And because I've been wrong, I have a healthy respect for my own errancy.
Well, didn't you in your past life commit adultery?
Yes, in my current existing life.
Your current existing
life. Yeah, I didn't have a past life, but in this life, tragically, I committed adultery, and I grew up in extreme sexual immorality. And I had the adults around me, like relatives and not my immediate family, but relatives and my little league coaches giving me full access to pornography, Playboy, Penthouse, videos of orgies and women having sex with animals, and audio tapes of women having lesbian orgies. And this was, I'd go on a camping trip with my little league coaches, and they'd bring alcohol, porn magazines, and audio tapes. And I was maybe 12 or 13 years old.
That seems like inappropriate stuff.
Yeah, I'd say so. I grew up like that, and I was addicted to sexual behavior from before I got into high school. And so my young life, it was, I think it was similar to if adults around me had given me crack cocaine. I was obsessed with sexuality, with sex.
Okay.
And I grew up in that. I became a Christian in high school, and that I did not immediately overcome my sexual problems, and I brought that into my life, my first marriage, and I, because of that, destroyed my marriage, my family, and I saw what the modern acceptance of unferreted sexual behavior does to a family, to a wife, to a life. And I thank God that I've been able to see that I was wrong, my wife was right, I was wrong, the Bible was right, I was wrong. I should have been faithful, I should have waited until I was married, and I should have accepted the sexual morality that God has told us is what's best for our human species. So, yes, I committed adultery.
Well, that's good, and I'm glad that you realized the error of your ways on that.
Yeah. But, of course, according to Politically Incorrect, there were no errors there. If consenting adults want to have sex, that's the only thing that matters that makes it right or wrong. Right? Isn't that the common statement today? As long as you have consenting adults, you can have sex.
Well,
that's what we're legitimizing today.
I don't think that government should get involved with adultery. I don't agree with adultery laws, but I do think that adultery does hurt families. And also, infidelity in gay relationships can also hurt families. They can hurt the relationship. And
so adultery can hurt families, so shouldn't the government get involved?
No, the government should not get involved.
Well, if
in terms of making adultery illegal, I just don't think it's the way to go.
Well, it was legal for thousands of years, and we didn't have a divorce rate of more than half of our families. We didn't have a suicide epidemic. It's the number three killer of young kids in America, suicide. But a guy has a 40-year-old wife. She's had three or four kids. She doesn't have her 20-year-old shape anymore. And he's sort of bored with her. And his secretary's 24 years old, gorgeous. They go on business trips together. And he figures, hey, I'll have sex with her. It used to be the wife could go to the government for protection and defense. Today, she cannot do that. The husband could have sex with other women, bring potential diseases into his wife's body. He could divorce his wife, dump her for a better-looking, younger model, and the government does not in any way hold him responsible.
Well, I think that actually, in the case of if the guy is married, and you know, I think that there is something called divorce court, and there is something called alimony, and there is
well where I come from, if you want a divorce, you get a divorce because what's the term they use these days?
There's no fault divorce.
No fault, thank you. No fault divorce. And if you say to the judge, I'm in the right because he's having sex with his girlfriend, the judge thinks you're a religious fanatic, and he will hold that against you in Colorado. If you say, I believe a man and a woman should be pure and committed to one another, and that the marriage vows have meaning, and therefore I should be awarded custody of the children, I should get the home, he shouldn't get an even shake because he's destroyed our family, that doesn't go anywhere in the judges and the courtrooms I've seen. Because the homosexual mindset is sweeping America, where two consenting adults can have sex and it's fully legitimate under the law. It doesn't matter if millions
do with you heterosexuals committing adultery, and
what does it have to do with that?
First rate. Homosexuality.
Let me tell you what it has to do with that. I'll tell you what it has to do with that. The sexual morality that we should uphold is sex is only appropriate within the marriage of one man to one woman. That's it. Once that social barrier is broken down, then the family is undermined, children suffer, millions of people die depressed lives because we're denying the very fabric of who we are, what it means to be human beings. And so that's why I despise homosexuality. Because it contributes to a mindset of sexual immorality and the breakdown of marriages.
And you think that gay people ought to all be killed?
All the gay people in America right now?
Yeah.
That's the question?
Yeah.
No.
We're saying that there was that before you said something about how homosexuality in a biblical society would be a capital crime.
Right.
Would
I support
oppose
that.
Having it be a capital crime in the U.S.?
I support having it a capital crime in the U.S. It was a capital crime in the U.S., and we've been decriminalizing it for just the last half a century. But here's the difference. When homosexuality is a capital crime, few to no people are executed for homosexuality. It overwhelmingly does not occur. When it does occur, it's in a darkened back room, and it does not become a social phenomenon, so that the Islamic countries today, I don't want to become an Islamic country, but a number of them have a death penalty for homosexuality. The countries that have that law, the AIDS epidemic stops at their borders. The Islamic countries that execute homosexuals, and they still do it in some places, do not have an AIDS epidemic.
This is countries in Africa?
No, like Saudi Arabia or Pakistan.
They don't. I'd have to check the numbers, but I know that in most places in Africa,
I'm not talking about Africa.
Problem.
I'm not talking about Africa. And what I've looked at the UN's numbers on AIDS cases in Islamic countries,
mm-hmm.
and interestingly, they're all estimated projections made on data from other countries. And that's interesting because I would expect that in these countries there would be no fear of AIDS, no AIDS epidemics, and it wouldn't show up in their treatment, in their stories, in their media account, and it doesn't. It's not a problem because homosexuality doesn't get to flourish. In your system, Eva, millions of people around the world die tortured deaths because we are tolerating one of the most destructive things the human species has ever done, sex within genders.
Hey, Bob, if you're going to give that health argument, you're talking about gay men.
Yes.
But lesbians are at lower risk of AIDS and other STDs.
Lesbians are the smallest group acquiring AIDS demographically in the world.
Yes.
So that gives the lie to the homosexual position that AIDS does not discriminate. Of course it discriminates. It discriminates on the basis of sexual orientation, doesn't it, Eva?
It discriminates on the basis of sexual behavior.
And sexual orientation, because lesbians typically have less sex with men than do heterosexual women or than do homosexual men.
And they don't engage in intercourse.
And
women are more likely to get AIDS from heterosexual men than the heterosexual men getting AIDS from heterosexual women.
It has to do with biology.
Right, it has to
That's true, quote unquote. I agree with that.
Yeah. Okay. And it's just pretty obvious why that is.
Even men who, even homosexual men who don't die of AIDS die 20 to 30 years younger than the general population. The suicide rate among homosexuals is 20 times that of the general population. The murder rate is 80 times higher. The vast majority of crime committed against homosexuals is homosexual on homosexual crime. Overwhelmingly.
Oh, I don't know where you're getting your statistics, but I...
From newspapers, news accounts. Here in Denver, I'll give you an example. Two homosexual men get, they're tied up, they're beat up, and they're robbed, and their car stolen.
Mm-hmm.
And the media in Denver reports it as another case of gay bashing gone awry, and a gay, you know, discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
In the same paper, they put the whole story, and the story is that these two men went to a gay bar. They picked up another guy at a gay bar. They went home. The three of them had sex, and the one, the newcomer, ties up the other two. They're undoubtedly giggling. Then he beats them up and robs them, and they report it as a hate crime against gays. Now, how do you figure that?
Well,
and that's the kind of discrimination that our side is up against.
Well, I personally don't agree with hate crimes laws, and I think that that particular instance is an instance of, it's kind of like looking for Mr. Goodbar. If you pick up some jerk at a bar,
of course,
you're putting yourself at risk.
Right.
Not that the guy who beat him up and robbed him has any excuse for
no, he should be
that, but it's
he should be punished, and Matthew Shepard should be executed. We went up to Wyoming, and we offered to execute Matthew Shepard when he was convicted.
Execute Matthew Shepard or his killer?
I'm sorry, I'm using the wrong term. What was the guy's name? Well, we would have executed.
The name who was killed was Matthew Shepard.
Yeah. What was the murderer's?
I don't remember.
Oh, I forget. Right. Well, we would have executed either party. We don't discriminate. Murderers and sodomites equally.
Oh, well, see, I
used one of your buzzwords, didn't I?
Oh, you love that word, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, sodomites.
Yeah, no, I remember hearing that one at a demonstration. People were going, "You sodomite."
Right.
The demonstration and a counter demonstration, and it was just kind of goofy.
Yeah, Eva, when a Boy Scout is... I went on the air in Denver my first week on radio 10 years ago on a little dinky, worthless radio station. And I talked about one of the problems with homosexuality is that it breaks down the moral barriers, and one of the barriers that goes next is sex with kids. That's what I said. Later that day, a gentleman approached me. I still know who he is and where he works. And he said to me, I was a Boy Scout. Our Boy Scout leader molested some of the kids in our troop and tried to molest me.
Mm-hmm.
And I confronted him and told him I was going to the authorities, and he quit and he moved away.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is I get that story on the first day that I mentioned that problem, and it's now been 10 years, and I have had so many people, guys, tell me similar stories. And so I go on the air, and I point out this homosexual child molestation that's been a problem in the Boy Scouts.
Yes, and look at what the Boy Scouts, it's a problem in the Boy Scouts, it continues to be a problem in the Boy Scouts, and they don't manage to prevent it, because they don't properly screen their leaders.
What do you think?
They don't even do background checks.
Do you think if we openly allow homosexual men to be Boy Scout troop leaders and take them on camping trips, do you think we have more homosexuals in the Boy Scouts or fewer?
I think they'll have less. They need to screen on the basis of previous behavior.
You know when they said that, Eva? We need to know history, otherwise we're destined to repeat it. Back in the 50s and 60s in the seminaries in America, the Roman Catholic seminaries, they said, look, we've got a problem with priests molesting kids. We need to be honest about this. And if a man is a homosexual, if he'll take a pledge to be celibate, we need to allow them to enroll in the seminaries and go into the priesthood. And that became the status quo in the 70s in American seminaries for the Roman Catholics. Homosexuals could become priests and enter the ministry, and we have an epidemic in the last 20 years of priests molesting altar boys. And so they tried your theory, not in the Boy Scouts, they tried it in the Roman Catholic seminaries, and it backfired in a big way during a time when homosexuality is becoming increasingly acceptable in America. In the media, the universities, among our politicians, homosexuality is acceptable. And right-wing Christianity is condemned.
Well, right-wing Christianity, I think that some of you folks, you quote-unquote right-wing Christianity folks, have done yourselves in by doing stupid things.
Well, I agree with that.
I mean,
Eva, what do I say to a homosexual caller who says when a Boy Scout leader, when a man molests a boy, it's not a homosexual molestation? What do I say to them when they say that to me? Because they've argued that to me for years. They say that's not a homosexual act. It's not a homosexual crime.
Well, I kind of agree with that. That's a same-sex, sexual act, but I think that the whole attraction of people for children is a separate thing than action of gender adult.
Now, once again, I would say in the most dramatic way, you are showing us your bias. Because let me give you an example with
what I think.
I'll demonstrate.
I'm with this.
I'll demonstrate how you're wrong. I'll demonstrate how you're wrong. Playboy magazine is geared toward males who want to see women, male pornography for men. And
oh, yeah, I remember I used to regularly look at Playboy when I used to babysit as a teenager.
All right, in 40 years, they have consistently, when they show a woman naked, they like to show a picture of her as a 20-year-old, as a teenager, preferably as a cheerleader, and in grammar school, and as a little baby or a toddler. And they show the centerfold in all those poses. They've been doing that for 40 years.
I don't remember seeing.
Yeah, they show that.
Do they show baby pictures?
Yeah, as young as they could get, or real young, where you could recognize there's a blonde, there's a redhead. Yeah, they show her in high school, they show her in a toddler, a little kid. Dr. Judith Reisman did a lot of research on this, and she got the 7-Elevens to stop selling Playboy and Penthouse some years back, and a book she wrote called Soft Porn Plays Hard Ball. But I remember all this because I grew up on Playboy and Penthouse. And I remember this. And my point is, guys who break the sexual morality barrier, they like seeing naked women and doing increasingly vulgar things as happening in those magazines.
Mm-hmm.
And to see a naked a woman and then see her as a teenager and younger, that fits perfectly fine with the publisher and the editors and the readers. It's all fine. But they don't show little boys naked in Playboy. They don't show that because the readers would get disgusted if there was a little boy in a seductive pose generally. Mm-hmm. Generally. So I have 40 years of Playboy defending my point that when a man molests a boy, that's a homosexual molestation. It's male on male. And if homosexuals can't even admit that, that shows me that their bias is so fierce that I have now more evidence for my observation that they don't have a foundation.
Well,
they don't know why they believe what they believe.
Yeah, Bob, I think that that issue needs to be studied more, because I've looked at some of these studies on child molestation, and it's not clear all the time that the perpetrators of child molestation, the male perpetrators of male victims are always gay, so that sometimes those men who abuse male victims,
yeah, I utterly
child victims,
by definition,
sometimes those men are married.
Of course, what percentage of homosexual men are married, Eva? What percentage of men who go into gay bars are married? There's a huge percentage.
There's a lot. Yes, that's definitely true.
But that shows the absurdity of your argument.
Yeah, but what percentage of those quote unquote straight married men also will at parties and stuff like that? They'll totally bash gay people and talk about those damn faggots and stuff like that. And meanwhile, they'll be going down to the gay bars, or they'll be going down to those cruising areas.
Yeah, if they're using that as a cover. Right, exactly. Somebody might be robbing from his company and say how he wouldn't even steal a pencil.
Yeah.
Well, that's just a very minor facade. That doesn't prove your point.
Well, it would be useful to look at that more with research.
Yeah, I've looked at a good deal of the research. There's a refereed scientific journal called Psychology Today, Psychology Reports, and in it we find research that of all the children sexually molested, of all of them,
Psychology Reports, I don't believe
is a refereed scientific journal. It's a refereed scientific journal.
I do not believe it is a respected journal in the...
Well, not in the homosexual community, because they published
not
some...
Let me give you this statistic.
I
believe that...
Well, it's a refereed scientific journal that the homosexuals for 10 years has tried to condemn because of articles they had in the late 80s. For example, of the children sexually molested, based on police reports, one-third of them are boys, of all the children sexually molested, and about 90% of those are just over 90% are molested by men. So what we find out, and then we also know of those who have molested...
Says how many of those men are... and how many are straight.
By definition, sexual behavior within the same gender is homosexual. By definition. You see, Eva, how could you ever concede a point if you disagree with the most obvious statements? You see how afraid you are of your own position?
I am not afraid of my own.
Yes, you are. When somebody says to me, Bob, when a heterosexual man rapes a girl, that's a heterosexual crime, I say, you're right. The homosexuals can't say that. They're irrational because they realize their foundation will crumble around them if they admit to obvious truth. And so you cannot admit that when a man molests a boy, that's a homosexual act.
Well, I think that there's some questions about that. That would be the first thing you would expect and that you would think.
Well, let me give you the conclusion of the point.
Okay.
That one-third of, right off the bat, 30% of the children molested sexually are molested homosexuality when you only look on the male on male.
Okay,
then when
and
you
what
look on the
male on female?
When you look on there's more.
No.
There's more male on female molestations.
Right, and that there's how many?
But what we find out is homosexuals are molesting children far in excess of their percent in the population.
And men are molesting children far in excess of their percent in the population also.
As compared to what?
Children?
More men molest girls than molest boys.
More men molest boys and girls than women.
Than do women.
Boys.
Right, right. Absolutely. See, now I could agree with you.
90% or 95%, I don't know.
Right. It's about 90% are committed by men, male perpetrators. Right. Now, I could agree with you because I have a solid foundation and I'm not afraid of obvious truths.
Okay,
but what we find out is that when you look at the percentage of the heterosexual population molesting children mm-hmm. versus the percentage of the homosexual population, homosexuals molest children in a far greater proportion, in a far more a greater percent of the children molested, percentages-wise, are being victimized by homosexuals based on... If homosexuals are 10% of the population,
okay.
and they're molesting 30% of the kids, and the number's actually closer to 50, but if it's 30% of the kids right off the top, then they're molesting not at a rate three times greater, but even faster than that.
Okay, but what percentage of gay people are molesting children?
Because of those numbers, I don't have the number off the top of my head, but I could tell you authoritatively. Because of those numbers that we've just covered, it's a much higher percentage than the percent of heterosexual men.
Yeah.
It has to be.
There's still a low percentage of both that molest children. Child molesters are not the majority of the population of men in general, and they're not the majority of the population of heterosexual men, and they're not the majority of the population of gay men either.
Well, okay.
And so what you're trying to do is treat all gay people based on the bad actions of a few.
No, I'm not trying to do that because I admit that heterosexual men also molest children.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is because men rape and murder and steal and commit all kinds of crimes. But if you look at a certain demographic, and if you found out that air traffic controllers are responsible for triple the amount of rapes as men in other professions, then I'd say, let's find out what's up with the air traffic controllers. Something in that group is awry. And so when I find out that homosexuals are molesting children at a far greater rate than other demographic groups, I say, something is awry, let's find out. But the homosexual community is in denial. They won't even admit that it's a problem. Right? You're not even admitting it's a problem. It's not a homosexual crime when men molest boys. That's not our problem. That's really Ronald Reagan's fault. You see the problem?
I don't know where you'd get that about Ronald Reagan, but you know what? You know that Ronald Reagan played a key role in 1978 in opposing the anti-gay Proposition 6, which was a referendum which would have prevented gay people from teaching in the public school.
And that's too bad. I've been one probably... On a national Christian platform, I've been one of the more vocal critics of Ronald Reagan.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, I love Ronald Reagan as a man, whereas I despise George Bush and Bob Dole. But Ronald Reagan was ignorant, and the men he appointed who were pro-homosexual, pro-abortion, and he... Sadly, during the Reagan-Bush years, homosexuality went from a fringe radical group to mainstream USA during the Reagan-Bush era from 1980 to 1992.
That's true. Yeah.
And therefore, I've criticized him for that. Hey, let me give you examples of how the homosexual community tolerates or even supports sex with kids. Do you think that's true? Do you think I could give you examples of how homosexual leader after leader, authority after authority, supports sex with kids? Do you think I'd have a hard time finding examples?
Well, if it's the same examples that Kirk posts on the Bob Enyart Live list.
Well, maybe he got them from me. I don't know what he posts.
He probably did get them from you, but... I'm just saying that not everything that every gay person has written something that I agree with.
No, of course not, but that's not my question. I can quote homosexual leaders and authorities and publishing houses and your leading magazines over and over saying things that are tolerating or supporting or encouraging sex with kids. And I can demonstrate how it is reasonably mainstream in the homosexual community to have sex with young children and young teenagers. And my point is, how could a community possibly that brags about pride and tolerance and respect, how can they possibly have as the cream of the crop people who promote sex with kids? If it's a good community, how could that be?
We do not choose people to be leaders who promote having sex with kids. That's just not true.
It is true.
It is not true.
All right, well, how about this? How about this? Let me try to establish it. What if I were to say the two leading homosexual magazines in America for the last 10 years are The Advocate and Out magazine? Would that be accurate? Do you think that'd be accurate, that those two are the two leading homosexual magazines in the last decade?
Well, I think both of those are more towards gay men than gay women.
Well, I'm sure that's right, but I'm talking about circulation, advertising revenues. I could quote from them that sex with children is an acceptable thing, something that introduces a man to his adult sexuality, something that a 14-year-old boy could have sex with 1,000 men in the next 2 years of his life, 1,000 different men. How could a 14-year-old boy have sex with 1,000 different men in 2 years unless it was a commonplace experience in the homosexual community? Or do you think the leading homosexual that I'm referring to was lying?
Who said that?
Who said that?
Yeah, who said that?
The founder of the... Let's see here. The founder and director of a home for runaway youths admits to having sex with over 1,000 people between the ages of 14 and 16. That's in Out Magazine, September 94, page 131, by Jesse Green.
And this was an article that was praising this person?
That's not my point.
My
point is, it must be commonplace if this homosexual leader says, I had sex with 1,000 men. Eva, we're totally out of time.
Okay.
But I do want to thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
Okay. I look forward to talking to you after you read those chapters.
All right.
All right. This is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.